prophesying that you are growing spiritually is the expression of the nature of God, who is love, through your life. And marriage is a great platform to practice that. Marriage is blood covenant. You see, when people don't understand that marriage is blood covenant, they think of an exit route. They think of a back door that they can go through.
So you see, husbands love your wife as Christ loved the church. Wives submit your own husband as your head, right? But this is a symbolism of Christ's relationship with his church.
Love comes in different colors. Welcome to Colors of Love.
Hallelujah. So we are saved by hope. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So this is relationship and family life. You know, Pastor said something last week. I don't think I will ever forget. It was too direct. It was candid. He said, falling in love is the choice you make. Hallelujah. He said, based on who you are, where you're going, and what? God's plans and purpose for your life, right? Are we together? So it means it's not, you don't just fall in love sporadically. I just don't know how it happened. No. Hallelujah. We know how it happens. Glory to God. So it was, I think we had the short video clip online that we got, so we watch it to see. Now, I just want to say something in 1 minute and then we'll have a video. We'll listen to a 30-minute video. Hallelujah. A man of God said this, and I want to say it. He said, marriage is 30% selection and 70% management. Just write it down. Hallelujah. I've said this to certain persons here before, but write it down. Because later you make reference to it. Marriage is 30% selection, 70% management. So, God can show you the vision of the right partner, mold him from heaven, and bring him down. You got married to that right partner, that selection, that 30%. Meaning your marriage can still fail based on selection alone. How many are getting, I follow him so far? Meaning, the fact that God said this is the Mr. Right or Mrs. Right, does not automatically mean your marriage will be successful. Without management, 30% is F9, right? Right? Yes. Meaning, even though you didn't know what you're doing before you got married to that person, even though that person was not like the perfect will of God for your life, if you get management, what 70%? So if you know how to manage your marriage, both of you know how to manage yourself, you will succeed. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Yes. So that's why you see two persons, they're so in love with each other, relationship, dating was just so nice. When they got married, within 6 months, they're already filing for divorce. Management. You need to be equipped. You need to know how to manage it. Meaning, there are certain knowledge and wisdom you need to acquire to know how to manage your home. Hallelujah. And so if, I don't want somebody to have that. Just always be thinking about it. So that, you know, a lot of people think it's just about, Lord, give me the right person. Give me, it's good, no problem. It cures a lot of issues. You now have the right person. Do you have the right equipment to manage that home? Hallelujah. Glory to God. So I just wanted to drop that in. So, especially those that are married, you will know that those that are married, they will tell you. They'll tell you, it's not just that thing, that feeling you are having, all those things. When you're married, you now have to know how to manage it. That's why when someone tells you, we never had any issues, never had anything, what I'm trying to tell you is we know how to manage our home. Simple. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You know, we're in the generation where everybody is in a hurry. Everybody is hurrying to just, you know, I like this guy, you know, emotions, everything. You need to be equipped, the right equipping, to manage your home properly. Hallelujah. Glory to God. All right, so we're going to have a short video presentation from a minister. His name is Kingsley Okonkwo. How many of you know him? See, relationship people are ready. You see, we know. It's good. Thank God you know him. It means he's helping you. Hallelujah. So we're going to have a short video. I think it's just about 30 minutes. Okay, you turn off the lights, right? The whole lights, and so that we can see clearly on the screen. Then after that, we're going to have a brief interview session for 30 minutes. Interview one of our couples and one of our mothers too. Hallelujah. So I want you, before the video or before the interview, I want you to, if you have questions you want to ask, please kindly write them down. I think we'll just take about, let's say, 5 questions for today. Then all the other questions will shift it to 23rd when Pastor will be around. Hallelujah. Now it's going to be something else. Amen. All right, media, are you ready for us?
The second reason why you should not invest in relationships that can work is because sometimes those relationships have even become marriages and still did not work. It's to avoid the heartbreak. Some people have entered into some things that looked like they were going to work. They even got married, and yet, even in the marriage, it broke down. Praise God. So all this is to avoid the waste of time and avoid the heartbreak. In my little investigations, because if you have observed, divorce rate is increasing. The sad thing is that it's even increasing amongst Christians, which is totally, you know, inexplainable. It doesn't even make sense that divorce rate is also growing even amongst born-again Christians. Now, that is not even where it stops. If it stops there, we'll manage it. But right now, it is even growing amongst pastors and among ministers of the gospel. Praise the Lord. It's becoming a common thing for a minister to divorce his wife. And every time I hear a divorce story or a broken relationship or a broken marriage, because I'm generally interested in relationships, I try to investigate. I try to say why. Why did it not work? And these are some of my findings over the years. Because I've discovered even some of these things here. Even if the relationship is 10 years or 20 years or 30 years down the line, some of these things still can make them break. Let's read Psalm 11. Psalm 11 verse 3. So every time I hear of a divorced marriage, a broken relationship, stuff like that, I like to investigate. I like to ask why. Why did it not work? Especially for those ones that seem to have lasted. Especially those ones that have even made it to marriage. I'm very interested. When I see a relationship that made it into marriage and yet did not last, I'm always curious. Now why? Did it not make it? After 10 years of marriage, the marriage still broke. Why did it not make it? I'm always curious to know. Psalm 11, are we there? I can't hear you. Are you in Psalm 11? Did you come with the Bible? Some people didn't come with the Bible, though. Psalm 11, verse 3. I want us to read it together. After the count of 2, 1, 2, read. One more time. For the last time. If the foundation be destroyed, what can the righteous do? In other words, once the foundation is faulty, there is nothing we can do. Praise God. Once the foundation is faulty, there is nothing we can do. So most times in my little investigations, most of these marriages or relationships that don't work is usually because of foundational problems. In fact, based on my investigation, 100% of the time, it is foundational issues. Okay, let me say 99%. Let's just give the 1% exception. Most of the time, many of the issues are foundational issues. What does that mean? That means there were issues that were existing even before the marriage or the relationship started. There were things that were not handled even before the marriage or relationship even started. There were foundational issues. Praise the Lord. There were foundational issues. There's nothing that has caused the divorce today that wasn't existing even before the marriage started. But somebody chose to ignore it at that time. One of the parties or both of the parties chose to ignore the problem even when the thing had not started. They thought they can manage. They thought they could cope. They thought it wouldn't be that serious. And it ended up becoming something really serious that had to break the relationship. Praise the Lord. So we're going to look into a few of those things that can affect a relationship and not allow it to work. We're going to look at it. I have a few here. I'll stop anywhere, you know, I can get to, even if I don't finish it today. Praise the Lord. The first one, a relationship that won't work is when it is between two people or when one of the parties is too young and immature. When one of the parties is too young. Relationships are great, they are fun, but there is a timing for a relationship. There is a time when you are in a state of mind and in a frame of mind to be able to make a proper decision in relationships. When you rush into a relationship when you are too young, your priorities at that time are not very developed. Your sense of value is not very mature. It's not developed. Most from our little interviews and investigations, most young people that are not probably paying bills, what determines an attractive guy, for instance, to a young girl is how handsome the guy looks. How tall is he? Is he fine? Maybe does he have a talent? Can he sing? Can he act? Those are the things that will interest a young girl. But you see, if the girl is 29, the game has changed. She's not looking for just a fine boy. Can he pay bills? Is he responsible? Does he have a job? But you see, if one of us are in school, you see, he doesn't need to have a job. He should just be a fine boy. But when we are out of school, is he a loafer or is he working? Does he have something to do? Is he responsible? So if you choose when you are too young, you will end up choosing the wrong things. The things that teenage people discuss are different from what mature people discuss. It's just a phase of life that you should not be making permanent decisions. Maybe the only decision you should be making at that stage is concerning your life's purpose. What you need to do with your life. What God is saying concerning your life. That's not the time of your life where you ought to be choosing a life partner because your priorities are not right. I always crack a joke or give an illustration that marriage is like choosing one channel. Or let's imagine on like DSTV or whatever, you know, there are many channels. They say it's only one that you watch for the rest of your life. If you choose that channel when you are under 10, you most likely choose what? Cartoon Network or CBeebies and all those things. That's what you will choose. And you just see my daughter watching CBeebies. Very serious concentration. That's the most important thing in the world at that time. She will put down her small chair. She will say CBeebies. She knows how to say CBeebies. That's one of the first words she learned. CBeebies. So she'll put it on and she'll be watching it. She knows that one. Who are those guys? Teletubbies. Lala. What are those people? She knows all those people. I don't even know them. Very serious, so concentrating. So left to you, that's a very important thing at that time of her life. But you see, if she chooses that, by the time she turns to a teenager, she will no longer be interested in Cartoon Network. If she's a teenager, what channel is she most likely to choose? I can't hear you. No, somebody should say. E channel or what? MTV base, have you? Or channel O? For who's going O? Do you understand? It's just natural. That is what is interesting to you. And I remember when we're saying that, that's all we talk about. Who released a new album? Who is singing what? Who won this award? What's the person wearing? We're so consumed by those things. When we're young, it was rap that was really. So I know it might not be rap for young people now, but when we're young, it was rap. So we're choosing whether you are East Coast or West Coast. We are not even in any coast, though, but we involve ourselves. direction in your life. At that time, you are choosing something more relevant to your everyday life. It might be different for everybody. It depends on what your, you know, your interest is. But you see, at that time, you are making a more mature decision. Praise the Lord. So that's how it works. That's how it works. If you choose too early, you are likely to choose wrong. Make sure you are not too young. Make sure you are mature and ready to make such a strong decision. Praise the Lord. Statistics have shown that people that marry or enter relationships early, you know, they usually don't last. That the older you are when you start a relationship, the better the decision. Alright? That's statistics, alright? That the older you are when you make that decision, the better that decision is. From my experience, when I've spoken to people that made that decision too early, by the time they are 5 years, 7 years down the line, they are thinking, I didn't make the right decision. Because their outlook on life has changed. The important things in their life have changed. And they discovered they married for where they were. They didn't marry for where they were going. So they discovered that this person I hinged with or I hooked up with doesn't fit into the life I desire. So the older you are when you make the decision, the more likely it will be to succeed. The more likely it will be to succeed. Praise the Lord. The younger the relationship, the less likely you are to have made the right decision. So one of the things that can break relationships is when you are too young or too immature. The second point, relationships that won't work. When one or both of the parties are not grounded in the Word of God. When they are not grounded in godly principles. They might be born again, but if they are not grounded in godly principles, if they are not grounded in the things of God, that relationship is an endangered relationship. It's under a lot of threat of failure. Praise the Lord. Now let me explain this. This is very important. Because many people will say, but he's an apostle, he's a pastor, he's a prophet, he's a worker in church. Being a worker or serving God in any capacity is not linked to being grounded in the Word of God. They are different things. Because many people marry people that have position, spiritually speaking, but they are not spiritually mature. If they are not grounded in the Word of God, they don't have the capacity to understand what marriage is. Because marriage is spiritual. Marriage came from God. All the terms and demands of marriage are spiritually, you know, carried out. Somebody that is not grounded spiritually will not be able to deliver. Will not have the capacity to even understand. Praise the Lord.
I want to specially invite you to any of our four services on Sundays. On the Mainland Church, our first service starts at 7 a.m. The second service is...
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Did you get something from that short video? Can we have the lights on? Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All right, so you can get more of his material. All right, it's very sound. Now, you notice some of the things he highlighted. Everybody, we are different faces in our lives, and the decisions we make in life is based on our emphasis on that face. Hallelujah. He was talking about people out that young teenagers interested in fine guys that are fine, beautiful, okay, they are still spending money from the house. He knows how to sing, he can run ad lib, you know, and stuff like that. You know, stuff like that. I'm telling you. That's the truth. When we're in 100 level, 200 level, men, we're point course. So people were coming around. Say, that guy is very good, that guy. You understand? So you will see, but you see, emphasis there was different. When everybody now graduates, no more money from the house. Hallelujah. You're looking at, can this guy pay bills? Hallelujah. So the most important thing is the emphasis. And he says something very key. He said, the more mature you are, when you made those decisions, the more likely it is you make the right decision. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Somebody caught the wisdom from that video. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You know, divorce rate is increasing. Of course, in Nigeria, it's still very, very low compared to Russia, America, and the other places. Hallelujah. thanks to our family system, the family system we have here. It's for our good, it's helping us. Hallelujah. But however, the ideas are already coming around, and the people are becoming comfortable with the word divorce. Hallelujah. But there are certain things you need to be equipped. That's why I said 30% selection, 70% management, meaning the knowledge, the know-how, the foundation, everything inside that management. Glory to God. All right. I want to call our guest for this morning. Glory to God. Can we celebrate Mr. and Mrs. Israel Eyesho? Hallelujah. Yes, they are guest couple for this Colors of Love. Hallelujah. Come on, is that how? Yes. Hallelujah. Can I have someone move this pulpit to the other side? Welcome. Hallelujah. Glory to God. All right, then the second person is, okay. Hallelujah, before I invite her, can we celebrate Mrs. Duga? Yes. You know, come on, put those hands together for her. Thank you very much. Welcome, man. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Can we have mics? Can we have three mics? Okay. Thank you very much. Hallelujah. Thank you very much, man. Thank you, sir. Thank you, man. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I need response. Hallelujah. All right. I have some questions that I want to ask them. And I want them to give us an honest answer. Now, don't forget, I said if you have a question, kindly write it and pass it to the ushers. After this session, it's supposed to be for 30 minutes, so I need the timer on. Exactly 30 minutes. I need the timer on. So if you have questions, just kindly write them down and pass it to the ushers by the side. All right. Mr. and Mrs. Israel, thank you very much for honoring our invitation. I want to ask certain questions. Now, the first question I want to ask, you've been married for like how many years now?
3 years, 2 months, and 16 days.
Wow. Wow, that was, if you ask me, I don't think I can give that detail. Hallelujah. All right, I just wanted to know how long. 3 years, okay. For a marriage to have succeeded, okay, thank you. I got it. For a marriage to have succeeded that long, it means, what I like is there are certain things they've experienced and they've been able to do. Hallelujah. Now, my first question to you as a couple now, where did you meet, and then what happened? Okay, where did you meet? Did the sparks fly where you met?
I followed my in-law for a visit. So they forgot the direction to the house, so they called my wife now. Who come to the junction to pick us to show her house. And the first, as I saw her, I just said to myself that this is my wife. Because I have a specification. That I wanted. So I saw her and I said, this is what I want. Physically, first. Because I want something that is, somebody that is appealing. So, every time I see her, I want to see her again. So we saw that day. That was 7th of November, 2015. I actually didn't say anything until 7 months after. Within that 7 months, I was just doing some underground investigations. Because actually, wow. I told myself, when I come to in Jos, because I was formerly not in Jos. So I told myself, as I come to Jos, when I start a relationship, I'll marry the person. So I didn't rush into a relationship. So as I, like I said, 7 months after, precisely May 14th. Oh, May 14th, 6 months after. So,
wow. Now, that's serious details. Hallelujah. Okay.
Actually, I didn't know she worships in the church. Yes. So, after that day, after that November, I started seeing her in church. But she rushes home after service. So, the first day we stood side, almost side by side. I couldn't see anything. The next Sunday, I couldn't see anything. So the third Sunday, she was with her younger sister, and I had the, according to local parlance, I had the liver to go talk to her. So she was smiling, and I said, second, good. So the next Sunday, I wanted collecting her number, and my hand was shaking, and my phone fell down. So she bent down with me to pick it. And I said...
All right. Thank you very much.
Okay. So that's
okay. All right. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Is someone getting something? You know, we're starting from here. I'm going to ask more specific questions. You know, everybody's relationship, people's relationships are different. People meet different places, some in church, some in different places. All right. But I needed to ask him that question because... You get? You understand? All right. Now, my second question goes to Mrs. Israel. Okay. What were you looking for? Or what were you looking out for in a man that you saw in him? That's number one. Did you have to wave off some things when you knew he was the one?
Praise God. Okay. Based on the kind of person I was, or I am, I needed somebody who is calm, easygoing, that won't make me shout, cry. So I prayed about it. And then, and there's somebody who was sincere, someone who has submitted to God totally, because that's where I won't have a problem. Okay. And I had to weigh a lot of things after we met, because, okay, one of the things I checked, that I had peace anytime we're seen, anytime we're together, and we always talk, and he understands me. I don't talk much. I don't talk much because I don't like talking. And he understands. So I don't have to say much. He will understand. Yes, sir.
Okay. I'm sure the ladies identify with this, right? Okay. But were there things... What? Hallelujah. All right. But were there things you had to wave off? Okay. Probably... part of your requirements or your dream for your dream man. Okay, this is the picture you're seeing. And then when he came, I started considering him. Were there things that you had to, okay, this is not too important for now. These are important. Were there things like that?
Yes, sir.
Okay. All right. Anyway, I don't know if you'll be comfortable sharing that, but you see, the reason why I needed to ask that is because when you meet people, you know, we have a lot of everybody here has standards for the person they want to date or get married to. And then you know you have them in priority, right? But you know there are things that are very important. If this and this is checked, this is checked, these other ones are below. You know that, okay, this is more important and this person has these qualities. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So very, very important. I hope someone is learning from that. Okay. Let me ask them one more question before I go to Mrs. Duga. I want to ask Mr. Israel. Did you keep millions on the ground, you know, to marry her? Okay, let's say in your bank account, you know. Or was it a step of faith? How did you go about it? Were you like fully prepared?
What I had then was far from millions. And as when I asked her out and she said yes, the second meeting, where I talked about, I just showed her my account. Because I'm always precise, so I plan things. So because I know I wanted to get married, not too long the next year. So I just showed her my account, and it was $350,000, and I said, "This is what I have," and it's far from judging that she's an Igbo girl. The list was 3 pages. So before that, we talked, and I knew it was going to be way, way, way a lot of work to do. So she had, she knew what I had, and I told her that she has to do some work, talk to her people before I come, and then just chip it in to her mom. So the mom, it actually worked. The mom did some assignments. But anyway, it was still challenging afterwards.
Wow. Hallelujah. Okay. Well, okay. Ms. Zizu, do you have anything to respond to that? How did you go about it? You know, in Africa, we have this, how will I say, it's part of the culture. Okay. The man that is coming to get married has to probably be financially ready. Now we understand. But again, we know there's a place where you release your faith and you agree together with your spouse, especially when those traditional demands are unreasonable. Okay? Are unreasonable. So I don't know, what did you do?
Okay, I talked to my mom. I told her because they brought the list, it was three pages. So I had to tell her she has to do something or nothing will happen. Yes. So we actually prayed. Then she now traveled. She told them he's going to monetize everything. So they couldn't ask for the things on the list again. So because if you buy one, you're buying everything. So that was the wisdom God gave us. We monetized everything, and then it was slashed down like to almost half of what was on the list.
It was only favor, God's favor.
All right, hallelujah. Can we celebrate them? Hallelujah. Hope somebody is getting something from that. You see, you know, when a lot of people tell you, when I was getting married, I did not have $1 in my account. You know, I did not have this, I did not have that. You know, and God supplied. You know, a lot of things happen. You know, people have taken it to the extreme. That's what I say, okay, that means I don't even need anything to get married. You know, I just need my faith. Yes, you need faith, but it should be backed by evidence. Some, a token that you can hold on to. Hallelujah. All right? Most of the people that tell you I did not have anything had what we call probably relationships. Hallelujah. Relationships, somebody takes care of food, somebody takes care of drinks, somebody takes care of the hall, you know, and stuff like that. So it doesn't matter if they had money in their account or not. Hallelujah. Either way you need faith, either way you need a token. Right? And then it's very important for the both spouse to work together. I know in this generation, there's this perfect picture of wedding that people have seen already. It's preformed in their mind and is established. So if you come, you are interpreted in that light. You get. So as a believer, you need to have wisdom. Hallelujah. Very, very, very important. Especially if you have gotten to the age where you know you're trusting God to get the right partner and to get married. Hallelujah. Then for those that are still teenagers on 100 level, I don't think... You know your emphasis. Keep scoring those songs. Keep listening to those albums. Keep doing those things. Alright? Hallelujah. Yes. You understand what I'm saying? Alright. Mrs. Druga, thank you so much for being here. Before I ask you the first question, I don't know if you have anything to say about the questions I asked them, maybe for just a minute or two.
I think maybe in the course of the discussion.
Okay, you will talk about it.
I had one or two, but now I can't remember.
Okay. All right, my first question to you, Mai, is what are the things a lady should consider in choosing a life partner?
Maybe I'll say this before I say that. A lot of times in our Nigerian context, a woman is being raised to just become a wife. But in a Christian context, you are being raised to join your life with another person to fulfill a mandate and a vision. So that means you are not thinking about just, you know, sometimes you go, they call you to come and prepare Zobo, prepare women meeting. You know, I used to wonder, so when we finish preparing this Zobo, what happens? You know, so it's true. So a woman should be one. I have, by the grace of God, a lovely daughter in which I hear things from her, and I'm grateful to God for vision, for understanding. That girl is not preparing herself to just be a wife. She's preparing herself that at the end of the day, God says, well done, good and faithful servant. Because you have joined your life with another person. For example, this couple, for instance, Madame is to, she has a life. She has us. I hope you know that. And you have yours. But she's also called to join hands with you and you with her to make sure God has one purpose for both of you. As a, you know, like in a field, all of us here are plowing one side. As churches, we plow a vision, a call, so that at the end of the day, with one voice, in one unity, we are pleasing and praising God. So that's what it's all about. So marriage is a duty, is an assignment.
Okay, so down to my question now, what are the things you would advise, aside for the ladies, what are the things they should consider in choosing? I know you get a broad view now, so I don't know if you have specifics, okay, things that the ladies should consider when choosing a life partner.
So maybe I'll start with how God helped me. A woman should consider, first of all, if you are locked up to the will and purpose of God, one of the things you'll be crying out for is a man who is going where you are going. If I'm going to terminus, I can't enter a car with somebody going to Akwanga. There are two different ways. So no matter how much you say you love each other, you are crazy about each other, it will always be a talk. You are going this way, I'm going this way. So first of all, where are you going? What is the, for every person, and that's why first of all you must identify who you are, what you are called to do, where you are going. Because if you do not know that, it's difficult to even know who you want to choose. I think from the video, or I don't know, I think it's Pastor that said it, in let's say in 10 women, for example, 10 men, they are all believers, yeah? They are nice brothers. They pray in tongues. They probably even sing very well, like the brother that was singing. And you like singing. Okay. The question is,
out of all 10 of them, there'll be one more suited to where you are going than all of them. So which or who is the person? And that's why you heard Pastor ask a question, which is so crucial. You might have to waive some things, not because you can't have that in other people, but this person is more suited to you.
Can you put your hands together? Amazing, amazing, amazing. Amazing. You see, you remember what Pastor always tells us. He said, purpose before partner, right? God called, God gave Adam a responsibility. Adam did not even know that he needed a partner. Hallelujah. Before he gave him a partner. But see, from what she just said, even for the ladies too, it also applies. Meaning you have a purpose, you have a calling. You have a destination. There's where you're going. There's something God has called you, because everybody here is a minister, whether in the pulpit or in the marketplace or everywhere. So the thing is, you're going somewhere. Who fits into that place? The direction you're going. Because whether I like it or not, as a lady, when you bring yourself under a man, you're under his assignment. That's the first thing. So in fulfilling his own assignment, you fulfill your own assignment. So there's a partnership. Hallelujah. I see, marriage is for earth, right? Right? Some people don't want to hear that thing. When we say marriage is for earth, it's not like in heaven, they say, okay, arrange yourself according to your husband and wife. Or the scripture says, in heaven, neither are they given to marriage in heaven. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So very, very important. As a lady, it means discover where you're going. And then when there are lines, there are people around. Even in church, it's not every Holy Ghost filled brother that you can. Understand? Yes. People are different. They are going. It's entirely different. Glory to God. All right, we'll come back to that. But let me go to Mr. and Mrs. Ayesho. I want to ask them about your family. Especially when you're preparing to get married. Okay. Were there challenges you encountered while preparing to get married? And how did you prevail? I know you mentioned something about the budget. That's the list, 3 pages that was slashed down by Favor. Okay. Apart from that, were there other challenges you had to handle, okay, while you're courting before you got married?
It's in just south, which is in north. So we see once a week, every Sundays. Precisely every Sunday evening. Because I come back every weekend and we see after church one of the eateries or gardens. So communication, we need more of communication because we ain't seen often. So I wouldn't know But through communication, we gisted more, and we read books a lot. So I'll pick up a book, and she reads one, I read one, then we exchange. Then we gist about it, gist about what we want in our marriage. We actually did that very well. Then what I don't want when we get married, what she doesn't want when we get married. So the challenges were distance, but we overcame that. Then finance. Like I said earlier, at first it was challenging. Subsequently, or eventually, God came in supernaturally. Strange favors, I'll say. Then supernaturally, then everything went. Even some days to the... another big challenge was distance, too. The wedding, the traditional was in the east. The white wedding was in Port Harcourt. So, you know, lots of money. But eventually, towards the last week, days to the wedding, people came in. Families, I'll tackle this, I'll tackle that. So, in summary, the challenges were finances and communication, and distance, yeah.
Okay? Hallelujah. And you have to ask that, you know, a lot of people, every relationship have their challenges. Hallelujah. For him, they were saying once a week, okay, distance. They knew they had to communicate. And then you see this, he mentioned something very important. They were reading books. You know, this reminds me what I said earlier, that the fact that this is Mr. Right or this is Mr. Right does not mean the marriage will work. Hallelujah. How many of you, you're in a relationship and you just need a guy? This guy is just a guy. And then, after 6 months, you're no longer dating the person. And your story has changed. You're no longer the guy. But she's no longer the person. No, you understand what I'm saying? It means there's a lot. You need to know a lot. That's why if you don't know anything, like like the minister that we just projected said, he said, you don't just, do you understand? You're still immature. Your mind, you're not taking responsibility. There's a lot you don't know. Hallelujah. So challenges will come. Even in marriages, challenges will come. Hallelujah. Okay, I'll ask them one more question. If I go to Mrs. Duga, how did you manage conflict in your marriage? You know, before the answer, you know, I said something. Anybody that tells you our marriage is just heaven on earth, we've not had any issues, we're just okay, nobody has given issues, you know what they're trying to tell you? We know how to manage ourselves. Do you understand? And so that somebody will not enter into mind and think, nothing, nobody will make you angry, nothing will happen, you know. That does not exist. Do you understand? So the major thing is management. How to manage certain things as they come up. Okay, so in your marriage, how, for 3 years plus now, how are you able to manage conflicts, disagreements? Let me hear from her.
Okay, basically we talk about, we don't sleep over on any issue. We trash it before the next day we...
In addition, sometimes I'm the type that if I scold with this hand, I drag you back left hand. So normally in relationships, one might get upset with one or two things. You know, the first 3 months of marriage, we didn't live together. Okay, before marriage, we didn't live together. So the first 3 months of marriage, we experience new things because my own and her own grew up differently. So the first 3 months, we studied each other, one or two flaws. We talked about it and corrected it with God in control. Then sometimes I will shout, like I said, with this hand, and I'll bring her back with the left hand. That's, we don't sleep over things, like she said. That's very true. It might exhale, it might continue, but we don't wake up with it. And we've been through that till tomorrow, by the grace of God.
Oh.
And another thing, she's a nice person. I always say sorry, and she always says sorry. So it makes it easy.
Oh, Jesus. Okay, I'm sure you have something to say.
As with every marriage, I've been married this 24 years now. Now they are talking about differences and all that. You will always have that. Nothing changes that because they are coming from different backgrounds. The way you were raised is different from the way he was raised and things like that. So you always have that. I'm a night person. By night, it's like I crank up. My husband is a morning person. By 8, you can hardly have a serious discussion with him because he's always, yes, I'm listening, but it's going this way. So I leave him. So, but with time, Pastor said it's management. If you're a morning person, you're a nice person, how do you manage it? I know that you've heard, probably you've heard this over the years,
how even toothpaste can cause you a problem. But praise the Lord, they have brought these, you know, flexible containers, tubes that you can press. Because somebody can almost kill the wife because you press it from the top, and another person because you press it from the bottom. And so, in your life, like, I don't eat cold food, except the food is meant to be cold, like salads. I need it steaming hot. For my husband, he wants it to cool down a bit. And I remember, just marrying, he used to wonder, how do you even eat this? You know, so, but all those things, you learn to manage yourself. When he wakes up in the morning, for example, he still does that. So there are some things you can't even change about the person till you exit. You know, but as long as I learned some things, because sometimes, and this is why a relationship with the Holy Spirit is so crucial. When you are, why is he always this or why is this? You go back to the one who made him. You can't force someone to become who they are not. Even if they are going to change, it's the help of the Holy Spirit that helps the person. I mean, it's like the light bulb just comes on, and the person is like, oh my God, I'm hurting this person doing this over and over again. And because of the love that's been shared about in your heart for both of, for each other, the person will do whatever it takes. Because in this marriage, I serve him, he serves me. We defer one to another. So that is what it's all about. That's what causes change.
I'm feeling something. Are you feeling something? Hallelujah. You know, conflict resolution, conflicts will always come in marriage. Hallelujah. Even relationships. But here we're talking about marriage because you are not going anywhere. In relationship, conflicts, everybody goes his way and everybody's on his own. But you see, marriage is an institution. It's an institution that you must ensure it works. The truth is, statistics or studies have shown that most marriages that fail usually have issues within the first 3 to 6 months when they get married. And that period is a very crucial season because, like she said, everybody grew up in different environments. Imagine somebody is now in your space. You were sleeping alone before. You just wake up, do certain things, and then this morning, you just woke up and somebody is beside you. You can't just rush everything. You can't just rush to do certain things. Imagine you like the bathroom being mopped after bathing. And a person is used to just bathe and move out. You know, I'm telling you, no matter how, you are not Holy Ghost to change somebody. All right? Of course, there are certain things. You will know the best time that is suitable for you guys to talk about certain things. Okay, me, I don't really like this kind of thing. Do you know there are some things you don't even know about yourself that you don't like until you get married? That's when you know. Yes. Hallelujah. Let me make a typical example of myself. Hallelujah. My wife will be looking at me. When we got married, personally, if I want us to gist and have good time, okay, I'm sure a lot of people will assume this pastor. I don't think they will even have fun in the house. No problem. You have your opinion. It's okay. We have fun. Don't worry. My wife knows we have fun. So when we gist, my wife is someone that likes multitasking, doing plenty things at the same time. Okay. She wants arranging clothes, or she's cooking, or doing this, or doing this. She wants us to be gisting together when we're spending family time. And then, I'm the kind of person that prefers just, if we're gisting, let's leave every other thing we're doing. Let's sit down. Let's be talking and doing stuff. All right? So I prefer that. So we'll be in the bedroom talking. Do you know, for some weeks it was as though we're not having little clashes. And the reason was because we didn't even know that this was our preference. I'm telling you, we did not know until we sat down and talked about it. I said, come on, it looks like you prefer me being with you while you're doing the things you're doing. And then she said, yes. I said, so me, it looks like me, because I didn't even know that I do not like going to, okay, the kitchen, you know, gisting or doing stuff while she's doing. I'm telling you. But you see, when I have to agree, and I have to get this, what I will do. Sometimes I'll go with you. Then sometimes you'll come in. Full stop. After that thing never came up. Hallelujah. You know, I'm saying this so that you know that. some of you that are saying, no, I don't want people entering my space. You know, you're still trying to be, well, you get married. Just be prepared. I'm telling you, be prepared. You don't have space. Hallelujah. You don't have space. Yes. So the things that will make you start complaining, why are you doing this? If you can just calm down, understand that, okay, this is how this person has been to this moment. And now start agreeing together and knowing how to resolve these things. Because resolving conflicts, when you come for counseling, is one of the classes we take, conflict resolution. Okay. You agree together, you must separate the offender from the offense, if the person offended you. Because you know this person is not always like this. If this person is angry, it's not always like this. Okay, so separate the offense from the person and then you reach an agreement. Hallelujah. So, for some of you that want to get married and everything, that first 3 to 6 months, take that time to study yourself and give space, understand a lot of things about the person. That's what will help you the other years of your life. Hallelujah. All right. Okay, so we talked about conflict and I want to ask one more question for the people that are yet to be married and especially those that are married. What's your advice? How about managing a home? Because, you know, the first statement I said is selection, yes, is important, but if you fail in management, you have failed in marriage. How do we manage the home? Especially those that want to get married, that will benefit from this, and those that are already married.
Okay. First of all, I think I will speak from my own experiences based on the word. Okay. Now, the first thing is that both of you getting into marriage must agree with each other that the word of God is the final authority in your marriage. In other words, it is not your culture, it is not your tradition, it is not even how you feel. It is not what your people tell you or my people tell you. Because it's either you are a Christian or you are not. You can't mix all these things up. So in my home, for example, we agree when we are having difficulties or differences over an issue, what is the word saying concerning this? I often get a bit frustrated or amazed when you are having issues, or because a lot of times I have to counsel couples or husband and wife, and you are talking and somebody says, leave the Bible first out of this. Now the question is this: the Bible is the core of your life, except it is not. Am I telling you that in 24 years we've not had issues that sometimes looked very, you know, tough? No. But when you come, there are other issues that are not so important. I love blue. I love green. For example, if I wear blue today, it's because my husband loves blue. I'm not even really a color crazy person. If I like it, I wear it. You know? Maybe a touch of gold once in a while, but that's just it. So, but to make him happy, because you are locked with this person, why shouldn't you wear blue? I mean, what's so difficult about that? But there are some other life serious issues, so to say, that you have to think about. In that, at that place, it is not what you think, it's what the word says. One of the reasons why today I know I can never divorce my husband is just one thing. God does not like divorce. It's simple. I don't know. Life is not as complicated as we make it. We are the ones complicating it. And I can almost say with certainty, because of the word, that the reason why there are divorces in homes is because one or two hearts are hardened. If you forgive daily, if you always forgive, you will not have that matter. In fact, for me, one of the points, one of the things I had to get to at a certain point was, Lord, because we are so different, and I thank God for God, because we have come to realize both my husband and I are like the north and the west, or whatever. But the thing is this, because we have come to the understanding that because of purpose, God brought us together. And because of what he had invested in each of our lives, he had to put us together. So we look at the purpose, we have a passion for young people. We pastor young people. So
When you think about the life, please, it's not whether it's brushing under with the toothpaste half, or it's the least of your problem. It's the least of your problem. I have, for example, there was a lady who was chased away from her home, who, and this is why it's important to marry somebody going your way. Chased away from home because she was impregnated by her father's best friend. And this is a young girl. So when they found out, in the heat of the crisis, one of the crises in Jos, they chased her to Terminus. The younger, this elder sister was my student because I lecture at the University of Jos. The girl called me. Mom, this is a, we have a problem. All I had to do was tell my husband, there's a girl stranded at Terminus. We need to pick her. She's in trouble. Let's get her. Believe you me, I'm not talking about my husband, please, so say you know, the, because of the call. No, I don't have to go through all that cajoling. This is our life. Immediately, simply picked up the key. Let's go pick her. Now, it's not a one-day, two-day thing. This girl stayed with us till she gave birth. Now, if you are with someone who does not have a cry for young people, a cry for troubled people, and all that, you can't do that. That could literally even break your home. So, that's one of the things. Know where you are going, know why you are. Let the word of God be the final authority in your life. I think I wrote, and forgiveness, I told somebody one day, because I took a public transport, I was going, at that time, initially I was teaching at Nassau State University, and I had to be commuting to Kefi almost every three days. And we're discussing with someone, I said, even if I catch, of course, God forbid a million times, no woman wants that. If I catch my husband with someone, what would I do? That you're a Christian does not mean you are unrealistic. That you're a Christian does not mean you don't see things and understand things. My husband has a joke. He said it's only Christians who go to, Muslims go to the mosque, they drop their shoes. Christians enter the church, they drop their brains. God gave you a brain for something. So you use your brain. Why do you use your brain? Though, must align with the word of God. That's the only place God has a problem with our brains. When we talk about matters of faith, when we talk about matters of faith, logic sometimes do not apply. But he will give you a grounding. I believe in God, I believe in God. I'm not going to walk out of this place. I'm not going to fly out of this place. I'm sure the pastors will call you so that we deliver you or do something with you. Because God doesn't even use his power for display. It's not to show power. No. It's to heal your life, to grow your life, to develop you. This is what it's all about. Quick to forgive. If you have in your mind, whatever, you are human yourself. Don't tell me in these 3 years she has not offended you, I'm not offended. It's impossible. So we stay together. We make up our minds on what to do. Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Can you put those things together? All right, I have one more questions for them. Please, if you have your questions, kindly pass it across to the ushers. We just need 5 questions as we round up. Mr. and Mrs. Israel, thank you very much. I want to ask, I don't know, what's your advice for the singles out there? I know our discussion more has been tilted towards those that are married, managing the home. What's the advice for the singles out there, male, female?
From my own experience, they should, for the guys, don't be scared. If you see what you want, check physically and mentally. Because I like intellectuals, because she has helped me very much in what I do, because she has lots of ideas. Like we, in my business, she has chipped in a lot, and it's working. So don't be scared. Be focused. Plan. Have what you're doing. Don't lie to girls. I'm talking to the guys. Don't lie, because they'll eventually know when they get married. Because I'm open, I'm still open. And for the ladies, try and understand with the guys. Understand, I mean, if from conversations, you know the guy has something in stock, you know the guy is going somewhere, because you talk, so you would know. So if he has visions, if he has plans, then align with him. There's a purpose. You have your own, he has his own, but you can work together. So in summary, it's don't make it hard on both of you. Make it simple. It will work.
Hallelujah. Okay, you have anything to tell the singles?
Okay, what I have to say is don't hide your relationship away from, don't keep it away from God. Let him in on everything because it helps me. And pray about everything. Have more time, create more time to talk. It helps. And then there's something we did, we still do it till tomorrow, like he said. As soon as we agreed we're going to get married, every Saturday we normally fast and pray. So create more time to pray and fast and let God guide you.
Okay, hallelujah. You know, church people don't want to hear. They say, ah, we have been praying and fasting now. It's important. It's very, very important. Now, for the guys, know where you're going, know what God has called you to do, and know the person that will fit into what you want to do. Be sincere. Like he said, he showed her his bank account. This is what I have. Okay? So, the truth is, you're not trying to impress anybody. Alright? You're not trying to get people to approve. Okay? Oh, they see me, I'm a classy person. They say me, I'm now dating somebody that is not too classy. Classy does not pay bills. Alright? Handsome, he has brain. Okay, he speaks good English, doesn't settle bills. He can speak good English and still hammer you in the house. You get? Yes, yes. So the people that beat their wife, there are some that have been educated. Mm-hmm. Yes, I'm telling you, and you will see some of these things in seed form when you're dating them. You see it in seed form. So there are things you don't, hallelujah. So let me hear from Mrs. Duga, what's your advice for the young, for singles?
Okay. I would advise that in all of your choosing and picking and praying and all that, if you can marry a man who loves God or a woman who loves God with all of their hearts, I can assure you one thing. You are in a safe place. Why? One of the things I asked God. Incidentally, these days I went for a wedding. The bride, they were not young couples. People are getting married old, you know, more advanced ages now. And the lady knew. They told me to help her do some shopping. We'll go out together. She knew exactly what she wanted. Her shoes. She knew the height. She knew the. It's nice. It's not like it's not okay. But I was looking way back then when I married. I just wanted to marry this man because I knew, you know, he didn't have anything then. I think he had only two pairs of shoes. then he was even with somebody's house, but because he was a university worker, they were actually going to give him a house. So. I don't know. I'm not sure whether I'm advising you about this or not. But he had no material things, so to say. You know? And looking back now, we courted for 6 months, got married the seventh month. It's not for everyone. Depending on your call, the mission, I know some of it may be a year or two, I don't know. But so that's what happened. People know. But one thing God told me when I was asking concerning this man, he said he loves me and he will take care of you. And if a man loves God so seriously, one thing you are certain, he won't treat you anyhow. That's for sure. We've had issues with time. Sometimes when we've had a problem, he would come back. It will be maybe another year. He will now tell you, you know, God was telling me, if you don't stop treating this girl this way, I'm going to deal with you. What else do you need?
So someone who loves God so powerfully that you know you are safe. Now I can tell you, this is not, the Bible says, what my hands have handled. The man has never touched me in 24 years that is angry. No. So find a man who loves God, who is malleable before God, that God can mold, God can bend him, God can say, go, he will go. God can say, those are the things. And I think the second thing is this. For those of you who are worried, I need a rich man, I need a rich woman, or I need whatever. See the kingdom of God like this. This was how God helped me to understand it. It's like you are working for a company. When my father worked for a company, even to our light bulbs, they will come and change them. After setting like three months, the curtains, they will change them. So many things. But guess what? The day my father stopped working for the company, these things were not there anymore. The reason why God is going to bless you and give you what he knows you should have is because you are working with him, for him. Do you understand? And I tell you, God pays good bills. He does.
Hallelujah. Thank you so much, man. Thank you so much. Wow. Come on, you can do better than that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All right. We have a lot of questions here. Like I said, we'll just pick like between 3 and 5 questions, depending on how fast we can answer them. And then I'll keep the rest. Next week, Pastor will be around. There's going to be something else. So we'll answer a lot of questions and more practical sessions. The first question here, please, in a situation where you're in a relationship with someone and he or she meets the basic criteria. I don't know what the basic criteria for this person is. What if I see some characters that I don't like? Example, rude talks or eating habits. Do you try to manage knowing everyone is flawed? Or do you try to change or correct the person? Or do you leave? Now, can you say something else?
Okay. Now, like I said, there are some basic things. If you know you cannot live with it for the rest of your life, you probably shouldn't be with the person. But there are some, like I also said, when it comes to matters that are not so, so important. Now, let me give you just an example. My husband is all about books and books and books. He's a professor, so maybe that's... He wasn't crazy about dressing, about... As long as his clothes are cleaned, well-ironed, and he's fine. And I grew up in a home where all the boys had their own type of perfume, their own. So it was a wide, we're just different. I remember one time he was going out with some people came, pastors came to the house, and they were going to go out. They were all dressed, and he just called me, said, he calls me Mrs. Duga. That's his, to him, that's his nice way of calling. Mrs. Duga, I'm going out now. I'm like, okay. But there were people there, so I didn't know how to tell him, go change now. So I went, we had this cubicle near the kitchen, so I was trying to tell him from there. So that we're in a hurry, what? I said, let's go. So when he came, I told him, go and change now. He said, but we are late. I said, go and change. Go and change. So he went in. I'm not talking about 5 years of marriage. Then we do. I will tell you how God changed that. That's why I'm bringing this story. And so he went, changed, came down. Of course, more presentable. Came down. When he was going, he had to tell me, said, I have changed though. And he left. So I was like, this guy. Anyway, went. But one of the days, I just told God, I kept praying. I like a man looking sharp. It's simple. But I had to tell, I told God, do something about this guy. This is how many years, and all that. One day, out of the blues, he just came. He said, I was praying one morning, the Holy Spirit told me to stop first. The way you are dressing, you are not representing me well. I am not joking. I literally felt like hugging the Holy Spirit. At last. I waited that long. Today, believe you me, he's dressing. He's dressing. Now, those are the kind of things you can wait for. Those are the kind of things you can pray. I've told you, if it is not principles of life that he's flawed in, it's not a problem. Just keep bearing. Who knows what God was even doing in me? Sometimes it's like, your life shouldn't be based on dressing. Your life shouldn't... if it becomes a problem to you, God will deal with that. He will use whoever he needs to use. But the day you submit that, God takes over. So I think if it comes to that, you can pray. If you know this is not anything serious, if you need another, you can talk to a pastor, talk to someone. Pray about it. It can work.
Can you put your hands together for her? Thank you so much, ma'am. Thank you. I think that takes care of that question. The key thing is, this guy has met, or the lady has met with the basic things that they have. You're just having, okay, little things to edit. Yes, those things, you pray about it, okay, talk to the person about it. There's a way to go about it, all right? It's not just, except if there are things that you know you can't live with. Hallelujah. Very, very important. Let me ask this question. What advice can you give to two persons? And the person I put in bracket, mature. Two persons, that's mature persons now, in a relationship, but wants to get married in 2 years' time. Is it too far? And is it too far? That's the question. And he said, and there are potentials of it being a long distance relationship. Mr. Israel, say something about this.
Number one, priorities.
Okay.
They mentioned phases of relationships. There's a, according to pastor that spoke, when you're a teenager or before early 20s, there are some priorities. You don't want it immediate. As for the lady, for the guy, let me use myself. I was ready for marriage, so I didn't waste time. I saw her November 7th. I talked to her the next 6 months, and we got married the next year. So everybody has their own set goals. Yes, and she was still in school. I was told to wait. I was just starting my business. I was told to wait for a while, then build business. But I was told that I was building love. And I replied, she told me something that will build the business and the love together. And that was what was in my mind, but she said it. So there was this, so it depends on the phase of relationship that you are. So 2 years, it depends on what you're doing, depends on what you want. But for me, I didn't want it to stay long. She also was ready to marry when she was in school. And it worked.
Hallelujah. Okay, let me say something in that line. 2 years. You want to get married in 2 years? Now, of course, the age is not here, but I assume you're a mature person. Both of you are mature, and you know you are ready to be married. Okay, but you want to get married in 2 years' time. Now, you're asking if it's too far. That's number one. Two, you know there might be a long-distance relationship. Now, for me, the things I've studied or from observations around, there are only a few long-distance relationships that really, really work. Okay, I don't know what's happening, especially in this generation right now, because there are a lot of factors, okay, in place. It depends on how far you have gone with the relationship. It depends on if, for example, you have done introduction. For example, her family knows your family. You know, there's family involvement already. And so that way, there's already something to hold on to. Are we together? There's something to hold on to already. But again, we know these long relationships most times have a lot of issues, complications. Yes, it's not like they are not those that will not work. Okay. But study now, look at people. Just pick 10 people at random. How many of them can be together for 10 years and get married? Yes, the statistics is declining. It's declining. Hallelujah. So I think there are a lot of factors to this. Okay. 2 years, Of course, it depends on what you are doing. For example, if you are in school, you want to be done with school. Okay, the person is doing something else. It doesn't matter if you are mature. If you are both mature, you agree that this person needs to finish school. Okay, I need to pursue this. I need to do this. It's all about your agreement. Okay, and then you have to find your way around. If it's going to be a distant relationship, how are we going to communicate? How are we going to see often? What are the challenges we are going to have? You anticipate it and you look for a way to overcome those challenges. Hallelujah. So it's very, very important. You have to factor in all these things together before you decide, you make your decision. And then for some people, they can't wait for 2 years. It's okay. If you can't wait for 2 years, fine. All right? Hallelujah. Okay, let me just move to the next question. I believe that should help someone. At what time should you consider or accept your parents' advice not to marry a man or a woman? Should you end your relationship or courtship because of your parents?
Okay, I'd like to answer that. Okay. Now, first, it is very important. The Bible says that we should obey the Lord, obey our parents in the Lord. For instance, when my husband asked me where to go to see them so that they could say yes or no or whatever, and he said, you know, I want to get married quickly, so what if they say no? I said, if they say no, then you wait. Why did I say that? Even though I led my father to the Lord and all that, he was a believer. And so, one thing you should know about parents, that's why it's important that in the Lord you obey them. Parents who have loved you all your life cannot just see a man and decide that don't marry him or marry you. I mean, it's not because they hate you, it's not because they must have seen certain things. So, if they say don't marry the man, it's a time for you people to start praying. It's a time for you people to find, why are you saying not to marry the man? What is the issue? And I tell you, if you are obedient to God, and both of you will wait and pray together, God will come in. In fact, they never told us. By the time we went, my mom said, I was sweeping the room that morning. I heard, go now to Makodi, tell your parents, this is the right time. I dropped what I was doing. It wasn't even planned. I went to Makodi. As I got in there, she said, I had a dream that you introduced your husband to us. So it wasn't, in fact, there was no. All my father asked was, does he love the Lord like you do? Does he love the Lord? I said, yes, daddy. The next question was, does he love the Lord like you do? I said, yes, daddy. Then he said, okay, I will talk to your mom. That was all. So if they say no, find out why they are saying no. Talk to God concerning the no. If they say yes, then you know you have a go ahead.
Hallelujah. Keep in, pray about it. I told your partner, pray about it. God will intervene. Hallelujah. Now I understand it's usually in the east or in certain places where they say you can't marry anybody except the person is from this place, is from this place. See, the Bible says the heart of a king is in the hand of God. Hallelujah. So if you really love that person and you believe you have a future, before you start thinking of rebelling, go and pray about it. Pray about it and God will touch their heart. He will find a way to touch their heart. Hallelujah. Two more questions, very fast. We're running out of time. Does age range matters in relationship or marriage? If yes, who should be older than the other? The person asking this question, the guy or lady, and with what age difference? Generally, should age range be considered in choosing a life partner? Don't worry, let me just, while I'm trying to skip it. Well, age, we said, maturity is more important, right? Somebody that is immature. Alright, so the first thing is the maturity of the both parties, mentally, spiritually, financially, intellectually, all around. Okay. And these are indices, these are things you check. Even if the guy is 10 years older than the lady, do you understand? And of course, we know the other way around is if the lady is like 10 years older than the guy, okay, there is this. But again, let me tell you, it's choice. Okay, and it's not as more important as these other factors that we're talking about. Hallelujah. Yes, it's not as important as these factors. There are people that got married, their wives are older than them. And you will never know. that those the man is like 10 years older than the woman, you will never know. Hallelujah. So that's not really an issue. Let me just go to this question. That's the last question. Sir, ma, I know a couple that collaborated to marry. So how do you want to get married if you don't collaborate? Okay. The wife paid for the decoration and the venue, while the husband took care of the rest. Could there be implications in the future? Is it right to do so, even if there is understanding? Man, do you have anything to say about this?
Okay, let me see what I can say there. First of all, marriage is a collaboration. That one is basic. Now, depending on what is going on, there is no one rule for every marriage. None. Whatsoever. In my own time, for instance, my parents even wanted to buy the wedding gown. You know, okay, this, I think, I hope I have told my children this story. But they wanted to buy a wedding gown for me. It was, they were high society people and all that. My parents, my husband came from a humble background and all that. He didn't really have much money. And this is a lecturer and all that. So, like the wedding gown, you won't believe, all my life, I had even drawn how I wanted my wedding gown to be, how, you know, wedding gown is a big deal for brides. But I remember 1 week to the wedding, I kept asking him, bros, we've not bought the gown. He told me, don't worry, the Lord will provide. And believe you me, if you know my husband is a man of faith, serious faith. So I said, oh, I will go with you here. 3 days to the wedding, I'd already started calculating, Lord, do I just go and buy the white garment so that we'll, or what do we do? I went praying. That as soon as I finished, in short, while I was praying, the Holy Spirit told me, you are not going to buy, you will rent. First of all, that was one of the things that broke me. I had parents who could afford it 10 times over, and yet the Holy Spirit told me, do not tell them. That was crazy. Why? All my life I've been designing wedding gowns, everything. Now I can't have it. The following day before we traveled, my pastor then, and this is why it's okay to submit to spiritual leadership and authority. He came in the morning. And this man, before now, you won't believe me, every time, sir, I need to make some major decisions. Somehow he shows up. So he came that morning, he said, Tonya, and he jokes a lot. He said, Tonya, I don't know what thing they plan, no. But God said, you see that wedding gown? May no worry. As he tell you so, may you do it like that. I was like, hi. Anyway, so I agreed. So I now called him. I said, let's not buy. Don't worry. Should be wedding gown safe. After the whole deal, I was the one now telling him. He said, hey, we should not buy. I said, yes, don't buy. But let me tell you the truth. Till today, that's one of the things he tells me. It was like God broke through for him. He didn't know how. And those some things that God will allow you to come down to. If you have, and he says, you are sure this is the man. You are sure this is his will. It is just for that season. The season will come. There are things I don't buy now because he buys them. There are things I don't do now. So it's not about whether you are buying or he's buying. I do not support that a man folds his hands and not do anything. Because that's your assignment, to take care of the home. The wife is your helper. She comes in to help in every area she can. So the husband must stand his place as a priest of the home and do what he ought to do. But if there's a place, there are some marriages that the man, the woman is earning more than the man. So what do you say about that? A lady told me I can't marry him because I'm going to have my master's degree. I asked her a question. Are you getting your master's over him or master's in a field? So where you should join your hands, you join your hands. But when you see a man lazy, if you break that flow in a man's life as a woman, don't take over his role. You can't. If you do that, you break everything that makes him a man. Amen.
Oh, Jesus. Can we put the hands together? Thank you so much, ma. Thank you so much. Hallelujah. Can we celebrate them as they go to their seat? Thank you very much. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Wow. Can you guys help us move everything? Hallelujah. Did you get something today? Wow, 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 wow. So for some of you that are thinking, no, you should take everything. You even have money, you are trying to hide it. Don't do it. Don't do it. All right? Except it's not going somewhere. Okay, so there's nothing wrong in supporting your man, especially taking care of the traditional, some of the things, marriage. There's nothing wrong with that. Okay, so the main thing is he's taking his own responsibility and is doing what he's supposed to do, and then you are supporting him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Can you rise to our feet, please? Can we just celebrate Jesus and give the Lord a shout of praise? Hallelujah.
We believe the word of God has begun a good work in you, making you a living, working wonder on the earth. For additional messages and information, log on to www.theembassyofheaven.org. God bless you.